Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Has taken over. Let's go. It's Pharrell.
Coast to coast.
Steaks, chicks, stacks. You and I are going to make a lot of money. It's Pharrell. Coast to coast.
And we are back, Pharrell, coast to coast on a Thursday. Carver High and Cam Stewart in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Great to have you with us here. We have one more hour to go, a very big hour on coast to coast. We have several things to accomplish, including the college football week zero games. We have Bill Bender talking college football later, Kevin Turner from the Freak in Dallas with us later on as well. We have the tour championship coming down the stretch. You know what I didn't realize, Cam? There was actually a really good field at the DP World Tour this week. That Czech Masters that they have going on. There was some really good golfers in the mix there. I had a guy that called the radio show last night and was telling he was betting on, who did he like?
But the Finnish guy, Valakimi, is leading?
I was just going to take a look who was in. I know the Irish Bear was even playing in this. Valakimi is in the lead at the Czech Masters. How's 9
Valimaki.
Under? But Alexander Bjork, one of your favorites. Nikolai Højgaard
Bjork's
is
there
in the mix.
And Højgaard's there?
Bjork.
All my buddies are there. They're all T2. What am I betting this stuff for, Carver? See, you get sidetracked.
Bobby Mack is 6 under.
Oh, my God.
And then there's Yannick Paul at 6 under as well. Where is the Irish Bear? Can we find him on the leaderboard?
He's hibernating. He's hibernating.
Now, this is
the Czech Republic.
We talk a lot about the U.S. Ryder Cup here. This is actually a big week for the European Ryder Cup, that Czech Masters. A lot of spots get decided in that tour. In the tour championship, Scheffler's still 11 under, but now Morikawa, Hovland, and Keegan Bradley all at 10 under. All one shot back. Adam Schenck is 3 shots back at 8 under as I see John Rahm basically treating the green like a knock hockey table right now. I mean, he just went flying past the hole on his putt. He's having a rough go. Let's be fair, Cam. He's been bad since the Masters. Just tell it like it is.
I hope
from January 1st to the Masters. Hasn't been good since the Masters. Just hasn't.
I don't know what matchups we're going to get tomorrow, but if he beats us, he beats us. I'm fading him in every single matchup tomorrow. I'm not sure if he could just find it. He just looks beat down. Remember, he's got like a kid now and stuff. Like, I know the nanny could deal with it, but he just looks like a man that doesn't have that, that spark.
Now.
Sorry, Carver. I know you and Ciano have children. I don't, and I can barely get through game time decisions. So I it's hard. So imagine being like a pro golfer. I guess I don't know what's going on, but he doesn't look the same.
A couple of significant injury updates in the NFL just now, Cam. First of all, Broncos wide receiver Jerry Jeudy was taken off the field today with an apparent hamstring injury. Some are reporting now that he's going to be out several weeks with that hamstring injury, Jerry Jeudy. So that is not a good way for the Broncos offense to start the season, not having Jeudy out there. And Terry McLaurin of the Washington football team, now known as but won't always be known as the Commanders, he left the game on Monday night. They were optimistic, according to Adam Schefter, but the turf toe he's uncertain for week number one against Arizona. He's going to work. It's too early to say. It's typically a multiple week injury. So maybe no Terry McLaurin for the Commanders week one against Arizona at home, Cam. So some significant wide receiver injuries in the NFL. And we only have one more preseason game to go. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates for our Coast to Coast on a Thursday. Carver Hine came in for Scotty, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159, Sports Byline. Great to have everybody with us here today. I have one more set, Cam, of games for you for the NFL preseason. These are all Saturday night games. The Bengals are in Washington against those Commanders who we just talked about. That's down to 35.5. The Ravens are in Tampa against the Bucks, 36.5. Dolphins and Jaguars in the Battle of Florida, 41. There's a big a little total that sticks out compared to the rest of them. Vegas is in Dallas against the Cowboys, and the Rams are getting 5.5 in Denver against those Broncos, 36.5 there. How about the 41 kind of catches your eye with all those 36 and 38s?
I kind of like that. That you're right. That's the one. Dolphins, they could put up points. Jacksonville's been pretty good in this preseason. 41 seems a little bit high, Carver, but if we're going to stick to the system, everything has to go under. By the way, didn't Denver lose Tim Patrick for like the year or two? So that's two of their receivers now, Judy and Patrick.
They're missing.
Not good. And Hamler's got, I think Hamler's got a problem too. KJ Hamler from Penn State, he's got a problem. Man, they got problems.
They have a lot of problems. They have a lot of problems, Cam. A lot of problems.
Jeez.
So, not a good scene for us. Get ready to run the rock, Sean. Go run the rock. That's for sure. There it is. Preseason tonight, two games get you going. When we come back, Cam, college football starts on Saturday. There are seven games, week zero, including my Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. I'm not here tomorrow. You're not here tomorrow. So we're giving picks today, Cam, for college football
Scheffler
week
in
zero.
The water.
We're going to be doing in
Scheffler in the
oh,
water.
Oh, is he now?
I repeat.
Oh, Scotty, that is
Scheffler is in the water.
In the water. Let's go. Oh, look at this.
Tournament.
He tries to go for it all here on 15.
No.
In the drink. Splash it down. Here we go. Pharrell Coast to Coast. We'll come back. College football week zero on the grid after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for all Coast to Coast on a Thursday. Carver High and Cam Stewart in for Scotty. Sports Grid Radio. Great to have you with us. BetMGM has you set up tomorrow for no run first inning Fridays. That's right. Nerfy Fridays at BetMGM. All you got to do, log into your BetMGM Sportsbook account, opt into the promotion, place a no run first inning bet on any MLB game. Just bet no on the will there be a run in the first inning market. If your bet loses but only one run is scored during the first inning, you'll receive a bonus bet back, equaling your stake up to $50. Bonus bet will be reflected once the wager is settled. This is, of course, available only on Fridays because it's no-run first inning Fridays. Nerfy Fridays at BetMGM. They have got you covered. Okay, Cam, a couple things. One, we talked earlier about Ohtani. The latest report is that he is going to be with the Angels. They're starting a road trip tomorrow in Queens against the Mets, and he is expected to continue to hit in the lineup despite the tear in his UCL. So while he just tries to figure out what he's going to do with that arm and his pitching, he is going to stay in the lineup and hit. So if you got those tickets out at Citi Field to see the Mets and the Angels this weekend, Ohtani will be in the lineup, so you don't have to go scurrying to get rid of those and not show up.
I'm almost thinking maybe they shut him down after the Mets because New York's such a big place, a beautiful place to play, big city, big fans maybe. I don't know.
Are they just going to keep on playing this guy? Figure anything. Now, where – yeah, going to be his home next year. He wants to scout out his home for next year, Mafia says.
Exactly.
Here's Scheffler for bogey, and he misses that, Cam. He misses the bogey putt. Now, that looked like there was a little meat left on the bone for the double. Or is the double just a tap-in?
Like a five-footer coming back.
He's got a little meat on the bone here coming back the other way. So he's going to be at least.
Look at Rory playing possum. He puts it to 4 feet. He's such a. That back move was the best move. Think about all the people that ran to the window to like fade him at the end. It's the classic. That's the way the world's working with all this gambling now. Wow.
So if he puts this in, Cam, for double, let's say he makes the five-footer, he's going to drop to 9 under. So plus one for the day. And Morikawa, Hovland, and Bradley are all at 10 under. And I don't know where Hovland is here. It looks like he's putting right now. Is this for bird?
He screwed up.
He missed this.
Yeah, he was going for birdie, and he ran it 7 feet past the hole. Like, everybody seems to be gagging now. This is nuts, Gunner.
Yeah, he missed that by a lot, Cam. What are we doing? Come on,
trust me,
Victor.
Things are...
What a chance to take the lead, man. Get serious here. All right, we'll let you know what happens. College football starts on Saturday, week zero. Now, next week's the real deal. Everybody in the mix, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Labor Day weekend, lots of games. Only 7 games this weekend. The featured attraction is in Dublin, across the pond at the Aviva, where the Notre Dame Fighting Irish will open their season against the Midshipmen of Navy. Here is Marcus Freeman talking about how important it is to have that extra time to face the Navy triple option offense. Sometimes it sucks. It's the middle of the season. You're playing all these teams and they throw it in the middle. But when you start with them, extra time to prepare. Freeman likes that.
Do you think that there are advantages to opening a year with them?
100%. We've been able to prepare from spring ball to parts of the summer to parts of fall camp, and then obviously 2 weeks to prepare for Navy. It's just strictly Navy. And it's a tremendous advantage to play Navy the first game of the year, because the preparation that entails getting ready for them is obviously lengthened.
He missed that putt coming back.
Triple.
There was a lot
I didn't
of
want to interrupt
the
clip.
Triple bogey for Scottie Scheffler. Six
what
on that
happening?
Par three. So he falls to 8 under, 2 over for the day. And Victor Hovland's got to make this par putt, and he will stay in a 3-way tie with Morikawa and Keegan Bradley. I got to tell you, I'm sure that Morikawa and Keegan Bradley didn't wake up this morning thinking they'd be tied for the lead after the first
this
round of the Tour Championship.
Is incredible. Like, think about guys who had
did he make the par putt?
Yeah, he did. And I'm going to tell you something. There were guys with the strokes. Like, Schenck was like 180. Like, what was he? Because I remember M was like 150.
201.
Like, these guys that were, everybody's involved now, Carver. We're going to learn our lesson.
Great.
Next
gonna
time, we're going to basically bet everybody but the guy at the top next year. Like, we'll do the math and figure it out.
Right? Navy will be getting 20 and a half against the Irish, 49. This total's gone down, probably a point and a half, some places 2 points in the last couple of days. Obviously a heavy money line for Notre Dame. I've already told you all week, Cam, what I want to see. I want to see Sam Hartman on display. I want to see 56-10 Notre Dame. Let's go.
I'm with you. I think that total seems a little bit light. Navy, maybe you better hope, though, Carver, they throw the ball a little bit more than their triple option attack. But I think Hartman's going to light it up. Notre Dame needs to make a statement. That 49 seems low. I would go over. And I think Notre Dame wins by like 24.
Remember this about Navy. There's two things I wanted to bring up with you here. Number one, the Navy, they got rid of course, Niematalolo, who was there forever. He's out as coach. They promoted the defensive coordinator. So he's the head coach now, and they have a new OC who came in from Kennesaw State. They're still going to run the triple option, but you're right. There may be some more throwing in Navy's game than there has been in years past. And the other thing to remember, not just in this game, Cam, but specifically in this one because Navy's in it, there's the new rules in college with stopping the clock first downs. You know how they used to, clock used to stop, set the ball. It would be good for totals. Lisi's been hammering me with this for months. He's all over it. I think it with a team like Navy is where it could really come into play, because now if they get one of those long drives going, Cam, that clock's just going to turn and turn and turn and turn if they're picking up first down. So let's be careful with some totals here maybe on the first weekend. But I like the Notre Dame team total over 34 and a half, which I got this morning. So 34 and a half Irish team total for Saturday in Dublin. The other game of significance is USC who are going to be number six ranked here in the preseason, and the defending Heisman Trophy winner, Caleb Williams. He's back, wants to have a very special season, Cam. Let's hear from the man looking for back-to-back Heisman trophies, Caleb Williams.
Adding to that is, you know, you got to go on the field and make special plays, be special. And so you got to work hard day in and day out. You know, immortality comes from championships and things like that. And I haven't reached one here in college yet. And you know, we got a special moment here this year to be able to go reach one. And so, you know, that's, you know, it's a special word to me because it's a word that, you know, you touch rooms and your name reaches rooms that you may never step foot in. And so, that's important to me. And I explain that to the team. And the coolest part about it, and this is exactly what I said to them, is that the coolest part about it is that after I said the championships portion, it was you can't go win a championship by yourself. So the cool thing about it and the best thing about football and ball and things like that is, you know, it's a whole 110 players that's immortal with you.
There you go. Caleb Williams looking for another Heisman. 30 and a half for the Trojans, Cam, on Saturday night with San Jose State coming in. 66 and a half is the total in this game. I like the over. I'm not laying 30 and a half with USC. Basically, there's a lot of good offensive players on that San Jose State team. They might score Cordero. A little bit. Chevin Cordero is a good quarterback who's been in the college for a while. He's at Hawaii, then went over to the Spartans. I think total's more for me, Cam, not the 30 and a half.
I agree. I think San Jose State could get like 24 and USC can get like, you know, 50. And maybe like that's what I'm trying to think. I think 66 we can get there. I agree.
The other game of that I wanted to highlight was Ohio and San Diego State, which I think is going to be a fun game. Aztecs are minus 2.5. 49 is the total there. I love that under, Cam. It's a Saturday night, 7 o'clock East, 4 West in San Diego. That's going to be a fun game, too.
I haven't talked to anybody that doesn't like the Bobcats. They've been good to me in the past. Rourke, his brother, who's the Canadian kid in the CFL playing for Jacksonville, it's unbelievable. It's going to be a great game.
Cam, great job. Go get ready for GTD. Great job this week, buddy. Great being
love you, buddy.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Thursday. Carver High in for Scotty here on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Great to have you with us. It is always great to have our man Bill Bender from the Sporting News with us as well. And why? Because it's here. All the months and months and months of no football. It ends on Saturday. Yes, the NFL is still 2 weeks away from tonight. College football week zero. 7 games to chew on. And I can't wait. I've never looked more forward to a primetime ESPN game between UMass and New Mexico State in my life. Bill, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. Like you said, it's here so we can actually talk about something on the field and not some realignment scenario that continues to go off of it.
I'm done with it. Like they're even still trying, Bill. Like they're trying to pull me in with the Stanford, the ACC, Cal. I'm done. The games are here. They can go figure that stuff out in their boardrooms. I'm ready to start playing some football. Let's go through some of these games for week zero on Saturday. Notre Dame, the featured attraction as they head across the pond to the Aviva in Dublin. They will take on Navy. We got a big number here, of course, with 20 and a half. Here's what I want to see. As a Notre Dame fan, I'll admit, and there's no bias here whatsoever, Bill, I'll say that. I want to see them absolutely lay the hammer down on Navy. They got a shiny new quarterback who's awesome in Sam Hartman. Year two of the Marcus Freeman regime. I don't want to see what I saw last year in games against Marshall, games against Cal and Stanford. You know, I don't want to see it, Bill. Even the Navy game, you know, they would get up in that game, they let them back in. They'd get up, they'd let them back in. I want to see Notre Dame look a little bit different in year two under Freeman.
No, they only rushed for 66 yards in that game last year against Navy. So you want to see them run the ball early, maybe set up Sam Hartman, some play action, and look like a top 10 team. I totally get where you're coming from there. I think they're going to. The last two times they've been overseas in Ireland, they've scored 50 plus points and they poured it on Navy. They're going to want to put on a show. That said, you know, Navy 6-0 against the spread when they were underdogs of 10 or more points last year. I can't get off that line. It's been hard to shake, but at the end of the day, I'm going to go with Notre Dame. I think they win big. I think Sam Hartman looks good and they look the part. And I added it like 41-17, so they cover that big number.
That works for me, because that also gets them over the team total of 34.5, Bill. So that's perfectly fine if they want to score 41 for us. In general, before I go to the next, do you like week zero? I know some people like bellyache about it. I don't know how you could complain. I mean, it's football kind of a week early before we get to the real thing next week, Labor Day weekend, with Thursday, Friday, Saturday, triple header Sunday, Monday night Labor Day game between Clemson and Duke. Do you like the little taste of week zero?
I do. It's reps. You know, last year I got into Northwestern Nebraska early. You think, okay, I'm going to watch a couple series, maybe flip around. And what happens? Nebraska loses and Scott Frost is gone within a month. It is a tone setter. I think it's a really big tone setter for Notre Dame. They're the one in the spotlight, like you said, shiny new quarterback. And a team that, when you're dealing with in terms of the college football playoff picture, is this a team that's going to go 9-4 again? Or is it a team serious about playing Ohio State here in about a month? That could be. I still think it's one of the three biggest games of the first month of the season, along with Texas, Alabama, and LSU, Florida State.
You know, they have three games on their schedule again this year that, you know, are highlight games that can put them in that college football playoff conversation. You know, when you play Ohio State, USC, and Clemson, other teams that are in the top 10, it's the other games, Bill, that kind of worry me. That's why I want to see. I want to see them play against Duke and make sure that they don't do the stuff that they did last year. Let's talk about USC, because they're also going to be playing on Saturday night. And this is typical Pac-12 stuff. You know, you wonder why the Pac-12's falling apart. You got UMass and New Mexico State on ESPN in primetime. And if you want to see Caleb Williams and USC open the season against the Spartans, you got to dig up the Pac-12 network somewhere. It's amazing, Bill, how they do this stuff. A very big number for the Trojans, 30.5, and Caleb Williams trying to do something that hasn't been done since the 70s, back-to-back Heismans.
Do you know where the Pac-12 network is? Before I answer your question, I have no idea. I was flipping through trying to find it last night. I found, you know, American Pickers or Tour of Duty reruns, and I'm looking for that's a deep pull for you. And I'm looking for the Pac-12 network because I want to watch Caleb Williams. And here's a trend that I'm interested in for Saturday. Remember in the offseason where the clock's running on first downs now. So with these games that have 30 and 35-point spreads, I know the bookmakers are accounting for this, but it's something I'm curious about, that a team that you think is really going to put up 50 to 52 points like USC, what does that clock mean for San Jose State? It's still too big for me. San Jose State quarterback last year, Chevin Cordero, only had 6 interceptions, doesn't turn it over much, and I think they're going to score a couple touchdowns. The number's a little large for me. If you think San Jose State can get to 17 to 20 points, I think they'll cover.
I'm with you, Bill. That San Jose State team, they've got some veterans on offense. You know, they've got some good players on that team, including Cordero, of course, was at Hawaii, then now has been at San Jose State for the last couple of years. They won that league. I think it was the COVID year that San Jose State won the Mountain West. So I like them getting to 30.5. USC big picture going into this year. Last year in the Pac-12, we know they're going to the Big Ten. They were knocking on the door last year. They couldn't beat Utah. Caleb Williams, can they get them to the college football playoff this year, Bill?
You know, that's the big question. They have to play defense in a big game. You know, they have to be able to get a stop. I'm not worried about the offense at all. You know, Brendan Rice, Marshawn Lloyd, a transfer from South Carolina, going to have a huge season at running back. Caleb's going to make plays and be this. I know he gets compared to Patrick Mahomes a lot, but he's just going to be that Houdini-like playmaker, has a chance to win a second Heisman. And the defense has to come through, though. When you look at those Utah losses from last year, the Hawaii loss from last year, Tulane, not Hawaii, they had a 16-point lead in the fourth quarter in that game. So it just comes down, if they get a few stops in those big games, Washington USC is one I have circled too, because the Heisman could be on the line, the Pac-12 could be on the line, and the playoff berth could be on the line.
So you think that, and I'm with you, I think Penix is going to be great in Washington this year. Do you think Utah maybe just a step back from where they were a year ago? Maybe not as good, even though they still got Cam Rising at quarterback?
He's not, possibly not going to be ready for the opener with that torn ACL, which makes that Florida game terminally hard to pick, because Florida's going on the road, of course. Utah would be riled up. It's a huge home game for them, an SEC team out of their normal territory. They are actually traveling out of the state. So it's going to be a fun opening game, but they have a lot of uncertainty at quarterback, and they have one of the tougher schedules out of those contenders in the Pac-12. The team I'm looking at, and Dan Wetzel wrote about them a few weeks ago, Oregon State's going to be America's team because they don't have a conference now. They're pretty loaded with DJ Uiagalelei. They won 10 games last year, and we all love that underdog story, don't we, until we're not going to care about them next year. But at least for this year, I think a lot of people are going to be in Oregon State's corner.
I'm with you. I played them as a little bit of a long shot to win the Pac-12. I played them for 10-plus wins. I'm going to be all over the Beavers this year, Bill. I can't wait. A game on Saturday night that I think if you're like a fair-weather college football fan, you probably look at the schedule and you go, Ohio and San Diego State, I don't know. The diehards like us, this is a fascinating game. I'm pumped for the Bobcats and the Aztecs on Saturday night.
Well, I'm an alum. I'm an Ohio alum, so I'm really pumped.
Yes.
To see my alma mater play, because honestly, when we talk about Maction, I'm excited they're playing during the week because I get a chance to watch them actually more often than on a Saturday. But Curtis Rourke, brother of Nathan Rourke, back from a torn ACL, going to play in this game. Ohio scored 32 points per game last year, and they're picked to at least get to the MAC championship game again. How they respond to the cross-country flight, playing a really good physical San Diego State team. I will say this. I'll drop this one on you. Ohio's won their last three games against Mountain West opponents, and they were bowl games and they were late in the year. But I like their chances to go in there and pull the upset. Definitely like them for the 3 points. Admittedly a homer pick. I've said it all week, but that's okay. It's week zero.
I'm with you on Ohio. I love the under a little bit more than the side, the under 49 between those two. I think we'll get a little bit of a rock fight. A lot of emotion for Hawaii, of course, with everything that's gone on there for them the past few weeks at home. But they got to go to Vandy, who absolutely pasted them last year on the island. Can they stay within the number?
Man, I thought they would stay within the number last year, and I just kept watching it balloon.
Me too.
This was bad. Now, in our own – yeah, and I couldn't get that out of my head when I was picking this one, because obviously, again, a lot going on in Maui. Our own Mike DeCourcy wrote about that at Sporting News, talked to Coach Chang about it, had a really good article on what they're really going through off the field. So football's secondary, obviously. They are running into a Vanderbilt team. Freshman Cedric Alexander could have a big game. Hawaii allowed more than 200 yards on the ground last year. So I like the Commodores to cover. Maybe not that bad, but somewhere in between that number, and they still get to 17.5.
I got like 30 seconds, Bill. Just looking ahead to next week, obviously that's when it really starts. I got Florida State LSU on my mind, Bill. 20 seconds. Who wins that Sunday night game, Labor Day weekend?
Even though Mason Smith's out, I think Jaden Daniels, LSU get their revenge. It's a wild fourth quarter again. I think I got it at 32-29. Subject to change, but maybe we can talk about it next week.
Bill, great stuff as always, my man. Enjoy week zero and the Irish pounding Navy across the pond at the Aviva. Bill Bender, Sporting News here on Pharrell Coast to Coast. We'll come back. Got a lot more to do. We're back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Thursday. Carver High in for Scotty here on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Great to have you with us. Also great to have with us our man down in Big D. That, of course, is Kevin Turner. Mornings 97.1, the freak down in Dallas. Kevin, good to see you As always, my man, I know it's a little hot down there. You were just telling me. I mean, when it goes over a buck, dude, that's just no good. I'm sorry. I don't care where you are. Over a buck, dry heat, humidity, I don't care what it is. That's no good, Kevin. I can't have it.
No, I'm the fool. I should have gotten out of town sometime in August. It's like 110 here. They're telling us to take our air conditioners up so our power grid doesn't fail. It's this is the worst time of year to live here in Texas.
That's why, and that's why the Cowboys every year go and spend like a month in Oxnard. That's why they don't do the entire training camp down in Dallas, because Jerry and the whole team, they got to make sure that they're in a nice area, nice weather, Oxnard, California. But they are back, Kev. And before we get to the football team, I have to start with this, because we played the clip earlier of Jerry yesterday and Sam Williams, and he obviously got arrested again, got trouble with the law again earlier this week. And he said he's maturing. You know, he went from 100 last time to 66 this time. I'd say that's improvement. There are some times where Jerry, even at his age, he can still be sharp sometimes. But then there's other times where Steven and the crew just got to get together in the board and be like, man, we got to keep him away from the microphone. What's he doing here? What was Jerry up to yesterday, Kevin?
So Jerry is like this dangerous hot air balloon that's always kind of floating around, and you never know when he's going to crash and say something insane. That's the beauty of Jerry. Anytime you open up the Dingo's Morning News, and I'm like, oh, there's a good Jerry quote for us this morning. Outstanding. There's an hour of our show. I think every market wishes they had a Jerry Jones, because he just creates so much chaos at all times, and it's great even if he doesn't even have that much say in what happens on the football team. It's really good.
How much say, let's just cut to this, how much say does he still have? Like, what is it still like? Has Steven now moved into the point where really he's kind of the guy making the decisions, or is Jerry still in that room pointing the finger going, nope, you know, if I want Jonathan Taylor, I'm gonna go get him? You know, is Jerry still the guy the buck stops with him?
Yeah, I would say that Jerry has this potential to, like, if he wanted to go in and really set the room on fire, he could. But I mean, it's pretty much Strip Mall Steven, you know, kind of making the calls. And Will McClay, who's, you know, the quasi-GM, but Jerry won't give up the title because of his ego. I do, like, have this thing in the back of my head that if there was something that was going to happen that just fully Jerry was not on board with, that he would kind of morph into Lex Luthor and Hulk, you know, into the room and just kind of, okay, I'm making the call now. Like, I have this feeling that that could happen, but it's pretty much Steven Jones making the calls.
Year number three with Mike McCarthy now down there in Dallas. I got to tell you, I know that there's probably a lot of people down there who probably question Mike, don't like Mike. I know that a lot of national media like to take shots at Mike. I think Mike's a good coach. Does Mike have some clock management things once in a while? Yes, he does. I think he's done a good job there the past 2 years. I know it's not where they want to get to yet. They're not in the Super Bowl yet and all that. When Dak went down last year, everybody had them buried. And I thought McCarthy did a hell of a job. He doesn't get enough credit for it. And now he's back year three. And I played a clip of him the other day, like, Steven puts out the depth chart. Yeah, well, that's just for PR. Like, I think he feels like he's asserted himself, as he knows he's the man down there. And I like that about McCarthy. What is the feeling in Dallas with Mike going into year three?
I would say it's pretty torn, but, I mean, people are torn on Dak. People are torn. Like, it's the same thing. Good enough roster, get to the playoffs, and then fail in the playoffs. I mean, it's this never-ending cycle of that. I agree that Mike McCarthy's a good coach. I disagree that the most lucrative franchise in all of sports should settle for a guy that does make mistakes in key moments and is a guy who is not accountable. Like, you know, Mike McCarthy will go and blame a playoff loss on the refs. Well, that doesn't do anything for anyone. I'm sorry. Like, it just doesn't. There's a couple things that have happened that are very interesting to me with this Cowboys season and the NFL in general. I'll rope some other markets in here as well. Watch that 49ers game early in the season. McCarthy has that circle. He lost to them 2 years in a row in the playoffs. That Chargers game, which is in October, is going to be huge. because that is, if I know Mike McCarthy the way I think Mike McCarthy, he's going to be doing everything he can to win that game, drinking his Metaliquid, doing all the things before the game, because that is him versus Kellen Moore. And Kellen Moore is not here anymore because of two reasons. A, I think Mike McCarthy didn't want him around anymore. B, I think Kellen Moore didn't want to be around Mike McCarthy anymore. So we've created a bit of a headline feature, even though one of these guys isn't a head coach. And I am really excited for that game because I think McCarthy will pull out all the stops as the play caller then in that game. The same way you might could look forward to that in week two against Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets. There's a lot of good storylines in the first 2 months of the season in terms of matchups for Mike McCarthy here.
So is the feeling basically with Moore gone now? And you're right, that's going to be a blood match when they get together, because everybody thinks that he's going to go and unlock Justin Herbert, who's been held down by some poor offensive coordinating the last few years. They think Kellen Moore is just going to make him a 6,000-yard passer. But with him out and Mike having the reins, is it going to be more of, we're going to run it? You know, this is it. Get me Pollard. Get me Deuce. We're going to run it. Take a little bit off of Dak. Because I think Dak's good, but like you said, he doesn't win the big games. He hasn't won those big playoff games yet, and that's the thing that's holding Dak back.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, is like, can Mike McCarthy unlock him? You know, Mike McCarthy made some comments. A lot of things Mike McCarthy says, I just want to get him in a room and go, Mike, stop lying. Stop lying. Because he does not want to run the damn ball. He'll go tell him, I want to run the damn ball. He uses his Mike McCarthy voice or whatever. And I'm like, dude, you do not want to do that. You never wanted to do that in Green Bay, and you don't want to do that here. You're going to throw it, and it's great. They now have weapons. This is where it's kind of sucks for Kellen Moore, because all of a sudden it's like, you know what? We can go trade for Brandon Cooks instead of trading away Amari Cooper because he wouldn't get vaccinated. We'll actually trade for Brandon Cooks. We'll trade for Stephon Gilmore. They did a lot of things to really help make this a top five offense and top five defense potentially. In all of my years of covering this team, and I'm getting older, so we're getting up there now, I've never once picked the Dallas Cowboys to win the NFC. I'm not a homer. I've never done it. And I'm doing it this year. And there's a lot of things that go into it. First and foremost, the team is good. But the second thing is the NFC has lost so much. So I'm picking the Cowboys for the first time in like 15 years. And I'm sticking with it. We got Cowboys and Chiefs in February. Let's do it.
I have also picked the Cowboys to win the NFC this year, believe it or not. I have, not to sound like a homer as well, I have them facing my Buffalo Bills in Vegas in February. So Bills-Cowboys is what I'm looking at. I've already put the slip in. I think I got 65-1 for that to be the exact Super Bowl matchup. We've already placed that. But I was going to ask you, and you already said it, I think the NFC, of course, just like last year, not great. I don't think the Eagles are going to be as good as last year. I think that's opportunity right there in the division. I don't care about the dopey 20-plus years, no back-to-back winners. Forget that stuff. I think roster 1-53, the Cowboys match up with the Eagles. They just got to beat them and win that division. And I'm down on the Niners. I think that kid's turned into a pumpkin this year. So I'm with you. I think the Cowboys can win the NFC.
I don't know if you saw the video of the crazy lady on the plane, and she's yelling that there's a person that's not real in the last. That person that's not real is Brock Purdy. He's not real. That's not a real thing. Like, there's the drop off, and that's my Mike McCarthy frustration. Like, Kyle Shanahan can turn situations like that into gold, and I don't know that Mike McCarthy can. I just don't know that his playbook has evolved. He'll be using a lot of Kellen's plays, I would imagine. I don't think they're going to change too much on the offense. They'll just have more options to go with. And Tony Pollard's a good running back. Like, Ezekiel Elliott not being here helps the offense just like that. Not because Ezekiel's a bad guy, because Ezekiel Elliott's not a good running back anymore. You know, so there's a lot of things right there. Tony Pollard's an outstanding running back now.
We can have the Kyle Shanahan talk another day, but I think this is the year where it unravels a little bit for Kyle. He don't got Jimmy G to save him. He's got everybody looking at 8 months of tape of Brock Purdy, and now he's got Sam Darnold backing him up. So I don't know if things are going to go very well for the Niners this year, as much as everybody refuses to criticize them or say that they're not any good, I think that they're going to have some issues. Let's talk Rangers. I got 3 minutes left with you here. First time this year, little adversity for the Texas Rangers. They've lost 6 games in a row. They've let the Astros and now the Mariners also get right back on the doorstep in the AL West. They're heading into Minnesota tonight for a big 4 games. What's going on?
Well, you know, for the first 3 months of summer, where I told you it does suck to live here in DFW in the summer, the Rangers came out and they made it incredible. And then all of a sudden, yep, as the heat goes up to about 112, they just fell apart. Offense can't get any runs going. They have run some tough pitching. The pitchers have fell off just a little bit, and it's just been a funk. But I think they'll be able to snap out of it. Like, I'm not super alarmed. Just because the Astros and Mariners are pretty good teams. I mean, it's just going to be a rat race to the end here, so I'm not terribly concerned. It's good baseball. If the Rangers were playing outdoors like they were 4 years ago, they're in fourth place in the division. So, like, having a dome has really made this team be a legit title contender.
I think it also shows, because it kind of coincided with Jung getting hurt, how important he was to the lineup and how good of a year he was having, because I felt that's kind of when it started to go the other way. They were mashing before he went out of the lineup with the broken hand, I think it was. And they still got great bats in Garcia and Seager, etc. They've had bad luck with the pitchers this year. How have you liked Scherzer so far since he's come over?
Scherzer's been excellent. He had one bad start last Sunday, but he came in and his first 3 starts was really good. I mean, he gave up 3 runs, I think, in his first inning here, and then it was 20 innings of not allowing a run at all. He's been excellent, and, you know, you have him next year, too, when this team will keep adding things. So I think next year is actually kind of their big window. We'll see what happens with Ohtani. That story's obviously gotten crazy. The Mariners want him. I have a feeling the Rangers are going to want him. I think they'll be in the mix. So I kind of saw next year as the year anyways. So this year's kind of house money. This is a team that took 6 years off of doing business. So we're just happy to be around, man.
This you're right. If this is a year where, let's say, they win a division series, something like that, and losing the ALCS, like a little learning experience, springboard to next year, I could absolutely see that with the Texas Rangers. Kevin, great stuff, my man, as always. Stay inside. Don't listen to them about the air conditioner. Just turn it on. It's all good, baby. Just let it fly. Don't worry about them and their power grids. Kevin Turner, mornings on the freaking Dallas. Cowboys season around the corner. Thanks as always, Kevin.
Absolutely. See you guys next time.
There you go. Pharrell, coast to coast. We will come back. We will wrap this puppy up right here on the grid, right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Thursday. Carver High in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Great to have you with us. We talked about all these college football games. Here are the other 4 on Saturday for Week 0. We gave you kind of the marquee games, Notre Dame, USC. We even talked a little Ohio, San Diego State with Bill Bender. The other games, UTEP visits Jacksonville State in Conference USA action. UTEP -1 on the road. Kind of like Jacksonville State there with Rich Rodriguez. UMass into New Mexico State. That's 7 o'clock on ESPN. 44.5. UMass +6.5. Hawaii catching 17.5 at Vandy. Vandy pounded them last year. They beat them by 50-plus points. It's a great story. You'd love to see Hawaii show up and give you a big effort. I don't know. I think it's very tough to ask for there in Nashville on Saturday night. Probably would lay it with Vandy. And Louisiana Tech places FIU. That is a 9 o'clock East kick with La Tech laying 11, like the under 58.5 in that one. We have a very jumbled leaderboard at the Tour Championship, which is exactly what we wanted. They are almost done. I think just Scheffler and Hovland are the last ones on the course. Everybody else is in the clubhouse. Colin Morikawa, who shot 9 under today, goes from 9. He was 9 strokes down when he took the tee box. He is now tied for the lead. That is ridiculous. Keegan Bradley as well, after shooting 7-under today, and Victor Hovland's 2-under. Those guys are all 10-under. Scheffler's at 9. He had that triple bogey. He's gotten one back since then. We'll see what he does on 18. Adam Shank and Russell Henley, they are 2 back. Matthew Fitzpatrick, Rory McIlroy, and John Rahm are all 3 back. So you have got yourself some fun the next few days at the Tour Championship down in Atlanta. Dodgers are winning the second game of the doubleheader in Cleveland. They won the finish of that suspended game. All right, great job by Mafia and everybody else. Great job by Cam Stewart, Kevin Turner, Bill Bender, Davis Maddock. Thanks to everybody for tuning in all week. You've got Blewett and Ranieri tomorrow. Scotty back on Coast to Coast on Monday. Enjoy week 0, since I won't see you till then. Go Irish on Saturday. Game time decision is next.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.